This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains, and from state line to state line, this is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Back home for the final time in 2022. Six more games to go in the regular season. The Woodpeckers back at home off a three-game split against the Down East Wood Ducks. And this week, it's a matchup against a club they haven't seen all year, the Lynchburg Hillcats. Single-A affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians in town to take on your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth at Segra Stadium in beautiful downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey, and we are live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and also streaming live via HD video feed on MILB.TV. Great to have you with us. Thanks again for making us a part of your Tuesday plans. Colin, the Woodpeckers fresh off the road. You were covering the action over the weekend out in Kinston. Thanks for riding solo on that broadcast for the three-game stretch. And the Woodpeckers managed a big win on Saturday. 7-0 was the final there. Jacob Melton homered. You had Zach Cole hit the first home run of his pro career. And you got some great pitching out of Miguel Loyola and Valente Bayozo. A good mix of offense and pitching over the weekend. Fayetteville kept it competitive, and even though they're out of the playoff hunt at this stage in the year, it's nice to see some of these 2022 draft picks developing in a big way in the early going.
And that's the focus at this point, just playing good baseball down the stretch to take into next year and develop as individuals. And also as a team, it's always great to, you know, see those great pitching performances, a couple of shutouts in Kinston. And this pitching staff stepped up a notch over the last couple of games, through the last four games, all coming in the month of September. They have the lowest team ERA in the entire Carolina League at 3.18, as well as the most strikeouts as a staff. So a lot of great things going right now for Fayetteville as we enter the final series of the season. It's crazy how quick this season has gone by, but all you can ask for is to try to win another home series. They've only won one home series all year, the Woodpeckers have, so what better time to win one final one than in front of your home crowd right as the season comes to a close here in 2022.
Yeah, the story of their opponent, the Lynchburg Hillcats, an interesting one. This is a ball club that won the first half in the Carolina League due to tiebreaker. They went into a tiebreaker situation with the Salem Red Sox at the end of the first half of the season, and they got the win out of it, but they've since been a sub-500 team. They're 26-34 in the second half. Their overall record now this year has dropped below 500 as well, 61-65. And Colin, it's kind of a really different style of offense as you have the Woodpeckers that love to homer at the highest rate in the Carolina League, and Lynchburg, who simply doesn't put the ball out of the park.
Yeah, only 49 home runs all year for Lynchburg. That's less than half that Fayetteville has this year at 110. Yeah. So two very different play styles as far as offenses go, but also two pretty strong pitching staffs doing battle here this week. So could it come down to pitching? Very well could, as it usually does in the Carolina League, but I'm interested in seeing if we see a kind of a flip-flop. Maybe Fayetteville puts more guys on and drives them in with singles, or maybe the Hillcats start using that long ball to their advantage. Two very different offenses and a great way to end this 2022 season.
The Woodpeckers are taking their positions out there on the diamond. Before we step aside for a break, a quick look at the Carolina League postseason race. At this stage, final week of the season, there's only four teams still in the hunt. In the North, it's the Fredericksburg Nationals and the Carolina Mudcats. The magic number for the Fred Nats is 2. They need to win just 2 ball games this week to be champions, or they need to win tonight and have the Carolina Mudcats lose, and we could crown a North Division champion in the Carolina League by night's end. In the South Division, awful interesting series this week. Charleston and Columbia are squaring off tonight. That game is at SRP Park. rather make it Segra Park in Columbia, South Carolina. And those two teams are the only ones still alive in the South Division. Charleston with a 3.5 game lead over Columbia. We'll keep you updated on that game, along with bringing you the action on ours in just moments. We'll step aside for the singing of the national anthem. And when we return, starting lineups and more numbers on tonight's starting pitchers, lefty Ryan Webb for Lynchburg and right-hander Nick Swanson for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. All of that is coming up next when Woodpeckers baseball returns on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
What so proudly we hail, o'er the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rugged regular, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's hear it for Aaron Fossa.
Journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers baseball is live on the air in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Segra Stadium, the final homestand of 2022. It's the Woodpeckers and the Hillcats. Live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey welcoming you in once again. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Fayetteville hosting the Cleveland Guardians single-A affiliate for the one and only time this year. The Lynchburg Hillcats, 61-65 overall in the regular season, 26-34 in the second half of play, eliminated from a second-half championship, sitting in fifth place in the Carolina League North. Let's go ahead and meet the starting lineup for the Lynchburg Hillcats. The Fayetteville starter, Nick Swanson, will square off against. It leads off with Jake Fox, the second baseman. Dan Frias is the shortstop. He is second. And then Jorge Burgos is the center fielder. He is third. Junior San Quentin is the cleanup hitter. Will Bartlett will bat fifth. Carson Tucker, sixth. Richard Paz is the seventh batter, followed by Jordan Brown and then Marlon Madej. That is the nine. Is Nick Swanson. Wines and throws his first pitch of the night. It's wrapped foul by the lefty Fox. And it is 0-1. Nick Swanson, been with the Woodpeckers all season long. Opening day roster guy, pitching in his 24th game, making his 12th start. Half have been out of the bullpen. Here's the 0-1. And a bouncing ball along first. That'll get to the right side of the bag. Foul. And it's quickly nothing and two on Fox. 3-3 record, 4.78 ERA for Swanson. He is trying to complete his 80th inning of the season here in the first. 79 innings of work, 44 runs allowed, 42 of them have been earned. 12 home runs has been the Achilles heel for him, 50 walks to 88 strikeouts. And there's a fastball that misses upstairs at 90 miles an hour. And it's one ball and two strikes. Swanson will keep the fastball that is relatively low velocity-wise, around 89 to 92. And he goes with a little finesse, a slider that strikes out Jake Fox swinging for round number one of the night. And it'll bring up Dayan Frias. And as Swanson gets the strikeout, let's go and meet the rest of the defense behind him.
Fayetteville Woodpeckers looking to avoid the first inning they had on Sunday, in which they committed two errors in that opening frame. Ryan Robleski doing the catching for Nick Swanson. Ryan Clifford, the first baseman. Tommy Sacco is at second. Leo's Danny Molina, the shortstop, and Zach DiCenzo at third base.
Frias looks at a first pitch strike.
Outfield is as follows. Tyler Whitaker in left, Jacob Melton in center, and Zach Cole, the right fielder.
Breaking ball loops to the outside, and it's one ball and one strike on Frias. Woodpeckers, for our radio audience, are in the alternate reds today. As a fastball is pulled on a line, that should go for extra bases, rolling all the way to the base of the wall. Frias gets to first, chugging down to second base. Cutoff throw is not in time. And Frias with a stand-up double. Got an elevated fastball and turned it around. Frias, who came into today's game batting 242 and playing in his 116th game, most in Lynchburg this year, comes up with double number 17. That's the fourth most on the club.
We talk about the lack of home runs for Lynchburg. It also carries over as far as extra base hits go. Just a 338 slugging percentage as a team this season. That is dead last in the Carolina League.
That's a lot of base-to-base baseball. A whole bunch of singles. And now a pop fly along the third base side behind the bag. DiCenzo going into foul territory, but watches it find the seats. And it is 0-1 on Jorge Burgos. But that red uniform today for Fayetteville, the red top Woodpecker logo on the left chest. Red to make it the black caps with the Woodpecker logo on the front of the cap, a black belt, white pant, a black pinstripe down the side of the leg, black sleeves coming out of the sleeves of Swanson's uniform, and a swing and miss for an 0-2 count. Burgos, the lefty and center fielder. Burgos just 19 years old, originally from Venezuela, and the pitch. He sticks the bat out, hops one towards second. Coming in on it, Tommy Sacco. He fields with a backhand near his knees and throws to first, retiring Burgos. Frias gets down to third. So productive ground out with two away. The cleanup hitter, Junior San Quintin, will bat for the first time. The Hillcats are in a lime green uniform. And they have some unique colors. The green primary with kind of a greenish blue as the secondary accent color. San Quintin is ready, and he swings and misses. One hand came flying off of the bat. Frias going halfway down that third base line with nobody holding him on right now. A green uniform with that bluish Hillcats lettering across the chest. Small white numbers on the front left side of the uniform and big white numbers on the backs. There's a high pitch out of the zone, and it's 1-1. A black belt and gray pant for the Hillcats. Looks like a green pinstripe going down the side of that gray pant leg. Swanson working right from the middle of the rubber, left leg kick, the 1-1. Spins a slider down in the dirt, and a good block by Robleski to keep that runner at third. They do appeal, and they say he didn't go. That's Noble Yasuda working the bases tonight, and Corey Gerber makes the plate decisions. The two-man umpiring crew in the black caps, black polos, and the gray pants. Two away, no score, man on third. The double from Frias, the pitch, and here's a bouncer right back to Swanson. He lunges over to his right side, pulls it in, runs towards first, and underhand flips to get the final out. So Swanson works around the one-out double. Dan Frias gets left at third. No runs on one base hit, no errors, one left on, and we go. Bottom one. The Woodpeckers grab the bats for the first time when we come back. Sacco, Melton, and Whitaker lead it off. We have the rest of the starting nine as well when we come back. Field Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910 223-7867.
Secor Stadium is the place to be on Wednesday night all summer long. Every Wednesday home game is Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark. Enjoy $1 Smithfield Foods hot dogs throughout the game and bring your pup to the park for only a dollar as well. The great deals don't stop there. If the Woodpeckers win on Wednesday, so do you. Every fan in attendance will receive a free ticket to a future Wednesday home game. So bring the whole family, including your furry friends, down to Segra Stadium Wednesday night for Dollar Dog Night. Learn more at MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Just underway in downtown Fayetteville, the Woodpeckers and the Hillcats starting up the final series of the 2022 regular season. And the switch hitter, Tommy Sacco, will lead it off for the Woodpeckers, facing the lefty, Ryan Webb. He gets the start tonight for Lynchburg. 10th game, 9th start, and his first pitch, a knee-high fastball at 90 miles an hour for strike one to Sacco, 0-1. 0-1 record for Ryan Webb. He's gone 32 and a third total innings, 18 earned runs, 22 walks, 40 strikeouts. A changeup gets Sacco chasing a little outside, and it is nothing and two. 23 runs allowed, 18 earned, and only two home runs given up by Webb across his first nine games. He limits that home run ball. And facing the top home run hitting team in the Carolina League in Fayetteville, 110 long balls this year. Here's the wine kick, the 1-2, and it missed outside. Kannapolis was near the top for a while there. They had DJ Gladney hitting a ton of home runs for them, but he got promoted to Winston-Salem, so that sloped off their home run production a little bit. And Fayetteville has taken over that first-place spot again. 2-2, and Sacco fights it away. A foul ball. Maybe no home run bigger out of those 110 than Tommy Sacco's walk-off bomb in the last game we played here at Segra Stadium. Sunday against Charleston two Sundays ago. The lefty from the third base side of the rubber winds, deals, and it is a called third strike on a high outside corner changeup. Tommy Sacco down looking for out number one, and it brings up a left-hander in Jacob Melton. Big series in Kinston last week. Tell you about that in a moment. First, Colin has the Lynchburg defense for you.
Richard Paz doing the catching for the starting pitcher, Ryan Webb. Junior San Quintin over at first base. Jake Fox, the second baseman. Diane Frias, the shortstop. And Carson Tucker is over at third.
First pitch to Melton is an outside corner slider. It's strike one, 0-1.
Left fielder is Marlon Madej. Jorge Burgos is the center fielder. And Jordan Brown out in right for the Hillcats.
And a foul tip right at the feet of Paz, and it is nothing and two. Jacob Melton with a couple of home runs over the week in Kinston. And you know what? He doesn't look anything like his headshot. He shaved the beard off. Clean-shaven Jacob Melton here in the final homestand, and he knew it. Strike three on the outside corner. Back to his Oregon State days, how he looked pre-pandemic. And he's 0-1 tonight. A couple of looking strikeouts to start out Fayetteville's offense. Tyler Whitaker coming up. Zach DiZenzo is the cleanup hitter tonight. And then lefty Ryan Clifford is fifth. Jackson Lofton, the DH, six. And bottom three, Zach Cole, Leo Stanley Molina, and Ryan Wroblewski. And here's the pitch to Whitaker. And a fastball on the outside corner. Called strike one. Ryan Webb, in his age of 23 season, originally from the state of Georgia, and a fourth-round pick in 2021 by Cleveland. He played for the Georgia Bulldogs. Went to Pope High School out in Marietta, Georgia. A gray ball cap to go along with those green uniforms and the gray pants for Lynchburg today. A check swing by Whitaker on one down to the dirt. Blocked by Paz, and Whitaker walking back towards the dugout will give way and the toss up the first baseline to complete a 1-2-3. strike them all out inning for Ryan Webb. And we're scoreless after one tonight from Segres Stadium. We're back in a moment for the second.
On Wednesday night all summer long. Every Wednesday home game is Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark. Enjoy $1 Smithfield Foods hot dogs throughout the game and bring your pup to the park for only a dollar as well. The great deals don't stop there. If the Woodpeckers win on Wednesday, so do you. Every fan in attendance will receive a free ticket to a future Wednesday home game. So bring the whole family, including your furry friends, down to Segres Stadium Wednesday night for Dollar Dog Night. Learn more at MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Interested in keeping up with all things Woodpeckers? Follow the Fayetteville Woodpeckers on social media for team news, highlights, ticket information, promotions, and more. The Woodpeckers can be found on Facebook by searching Fayetteville Woodpeckers, as well as on Twitter at WoodpeckersNC and Instagram at Fayetteville Woodpeckers. You can also follow the team's all-new TikTok page at Fay Woodpeckers. For more information on how to access your favorite Carolina League team on social media, visit MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Top of the second between Woodpeckers and Hillcats. No score after one. Dan Frias is the only base runner of the game so far. He doubled in the first against Nick Swanson, but was left at third base. Strong start for the other starter, Ryan Webb. Three straight strikeouts in the bottom of the first. And now it's the right-handed hitter, Will Bartlett. One gets by him and to the backstop for a ball. Then Carson Tucker and Richard Paz. It's the 5, 6, and 7 of the Hillcats order. In the first, Swanson got a strikeout of Jake Fox and then ground outs from Burgos and San Quentin with the runner on to strand him. Misses outside with the slider. And it's, I believe, a two-ball count now on Will Bartlett. There's the home plate umpire indicating 2-1. Here's the pitch and a fastball strike right at the knee level. Well located, and it is 2-2. Bartlett, a 219 hitter over 76 games, swings and pops this foul straight backwards. And the count will stay level. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Bartlett with 3 homers and 33 driven in. He's walked 53 times. Kind of a low average, but he's limited the strikeouts, 79 strikeouts over 76 games. Here's the delivery. And it's way up and in, sends him tumbling to the ground. The helmet falls off of his head. And that's one that'll wake you up. Bartlett showing off the long blonde hair and the headband underneath that helmet as he fell to the ground.
And you mentioned all those walks he's had, 53. 219 batting average, but 364 on base percentage.
Nice little difference there in the figures as a slider wipes him out swinging. Nick Swanson starts out the second way, the same way he began his ball game. With a strikeout, and now it's Carson Tucker. Two strikeouts for Swanson. Brings up Tucker. Swanson trying to go a little longer than he did his last time out. Just 2 1/3 on the road in Kinston against Down East. That was on the first day of September. Gave up 7 hits, 2 earned runs. That was out of the bullpen. He was trying to maybe go 3 or 4 out of the pen. As a swing and a foul into the netting from Tucker. Gets it to 1-1. He walked a couple and struck out 4, but he needed to throw 73 pitches. There was a lot of deep counts and long foul off at bats that he had to labor through. As a swing and a high fly ball is golfed to right. Cole back on it, onto the track, looking up, it clears the wall. A solo home run from Carson Tucker, and the Hillcats strike first. 1-0 in the top of the second inning. And Tucker has hit his first home run in a Hillcats uniform.
Brother of Cole Tucker with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. got a pitch on the outside half and just sent it the other way off of Swanson. That was an issue for Swanson a couple of outings ago here at Segra Stadium, where he surrendered three home runs to the Charleston River Dogs, and Tucker just went the other way with the pitch, picks up his first single-A homer.
And out of the home run, a little small ball. So polar opposites, but Paz couldn't get it to stay fair. And it is nothing and one on the Lynchburg catcher. So pretty cool moment there for Carson Tucker. First Carolina League home run for him, the 0-1 delivery. And that one's just outside. Didn't miss by much. One ball and one strike. Tucker's playing in his 36th game as well, so he's been waiting for a while to get one of those out of here. And a wave and a miss as Paz swings through a change. One ball and two strikes. Richard has a father, also named Richard Paz, and originally from Venezuela. Former Texas League All-Star for the Corpus Christi Hooks. As he swings and misses, and Swanson bounces right back at this third strikeout of the evening. So strikeout, homer, strikeout. Jordan Brown, the eight batter and right fielder, the next to hit. Base is empty, and it's 1-0 Lynchburg. Kick and pitch, and a high pop fly. This will drift over towards the foul side of first near the coach's box. Clifford looking up, and right as he gets to that extended warning track, Dirty brings it in and ends the inning. So a very quick recovery by Nick Swanson. He gets a pair of outs following the solo home run from Carson Tucker, his first for the Hillcats, and it's 1-0 after 1.5 tonight at Segra.
Get on your feet for the Brian Honda T-shirt toss. Make some noise if you want a t-shirt. Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Ryan Webb. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 10, Zach DiCenzo. Don't get too comfortable. Better not get too
comfortable. Fayetteville cleanup man Zach DiCenzo begins the bottom of the second inning. Lynchburg with the first run of the game on a solo home run. Just their 50th as a ball club this year. It came by Carson Tucker, his first with the team. We mentioned it during the pregame show, a Lynchburg club that has the fewest home runs in all of the Carolina League. But they get one to start the series, and Zach DiCenzo gets a fastball. He swings and misses, or swings and fouls it away. It's 1-1. DiCenzo, then Ryan Clifford and Jackson Lofton, 4, 5, and 6 to face Ryan Webb, who struck out the side in order in the bottom of the first. Sacco, Melton, and Whitaker all went down. Sacco and Melton looking, Whitaker swinging. Here's the wind in 1-1. DiCenzo fouls it off, and he falls behind, one ball and two strikes. DiCenzo, 282 hitter over his pro career so far, 23 games played. He has 24 base hits, two for doubles, four that have left the yard, and he's driven in 15 runs. Infield, outfield plays him straight up. The 1-2, a curveball strikes him out swinging. And what a start for Ryan Webb. Four up, four down, four strikeouts. And now we'll see if Ryan Clifford can manage to put something in play.
Just who you want at the plate if you're trying to get somebody on base. Nothing more impressive about Clifford than how often he's walked early in his minor league career. Just elite patience for a guy his age.
And a strike starts him out. Fastball by Ryan Webb. Similar to Nick Swanson, the fastball doesn't have a ton of velo behind it. In the high 80s, low 90s. But very well placed in the early going, as that one had a little more juice behind it, and it finds the zone as well. 0-2 on Ryan Clifford. Webb with 40 strikeouts over just 32 innings this year. So a good strikeout rate, but nothing like this, as a ground ball is hit towards the right side of the infield, and it skips off the fringe of the outfield grass and into right center. Ryan Clifford puts an end to the strikeout run from Ryan Webb to start the game. First Fayetteville base runner, first base hit.
Nice lefty-on-lefty action. We saw Zach Cole at a home run back on Saturday night off a left-hander in the ninth inning. So Woodpeckers lineup, even with so many lefty bats, that all year long has hit the ball extremely well against left-handed pitching.
So here's Jackson Lofton. First pitch to him is fouled between his feet and over towards the third base on deck circle. That's pitch number 20 for Webb. Season high strikeout total for him, that is 8. He struck out 8 Fred Nats over 5 2/3 scoreless innings in a start back on August 18th. Fell just one out shy of a quality outing. And a line drive punch foul beyond the rain tarp. Jackson Lofton almost had extra bases. Instead, it is 0-2. Lofton again, the DH. He comes into tonight's game with a 191 average over his first 20 Fayetteville contests. A couple home runs, both here at Segra Stadium, out into the bullpen area, and 9 driven in. Clifford off of first, awaits a long set. Here's the pitch, and it runs inside up near the chest of Lofton. 1-2. Lofton, the Houston, Texas native. Oral Roberts grad. Middle infield double play depth. Fox is pinching towards that bag as the pitch is swung on and missed. And down goes Lofton. So back to the K's for Ryan Webb. Now his 5th over 6 batters faced. Every out recorded via the strikeout. And now it brings up Zach Cole.
That reminds me of that game last series at home for the Woodpeckers against Charleston, where Josh James got the start, struck out the side, and then Miguel Uyola came in and struck out 9 batters over 3 innings.
It's just that pitcher can get in a mode where everything is pinpoint where you want it. It has to be skill and then just maybe a little dash of luck, too, where you're just missing bats. Guys are swinging and maybe they're not feeling quite right at the plate. Pitcher's got his stuff going. Here's the pitch home. And a hanger that's lifted out into shallow center, falling for a base hit. It's shallow, though, and Clifford forced a hold at second base. One of the rare mistake pitches so far for Ryan Webb, a breaking ball that had a little too much air underneath it. And probably fortunate that's just a single for Cole. 2-1 for Leo Stanley Molina.
Cole might have been having some flashbacks to the end of Sunday's game where he sent a shallow fly ball into center field. Marcus Smith, center fielder, ran it down, made a diving catch that ended the ball game right when Fayetteville was threatening with 2 outs in the 9th.
Leo Stanley Molina is the right-handed hitter. Force it all, bases now with 2 away. 1-0 Lynchburg. And here's the pitch. Molina takes down to the dirt. Yeah, that was an odd play, listening to you call it, Colin, and then seeing some of the video afterward. It drew a big-time argument out of Joe Thon, the Woodpeckers manager, afterward. And Joe not in the dugout tonight. It was Vincent Blue bringing out the lineup cards. I don't know if there's a possible suspension being served tonight, but Woodpeckers without their skipper in the dugout. Vincent Blue will handle the duties in this one. No doubt a little controversy, though, at the end of that series.
Ultimately, looking at the video evidence, they got the call right. I just think that the umpiring crew should have gotten together before talking to either manager, mm-hmm. and that might have resolved things a little bit more peacefully.
Here comes the 2-0, and Molina taking the entire way right now. Misses outside, and the first time Ryan Webb has got himself into a three-ball count. Both sides with a pair of hits. Clifford and Cole singling in this second inning. They stand aboard. A walk would load the bases, bring up Ryan Wroblewski. Molina had the red light on that one, and it's 3-1. Leo Molina, been with the Woodpeckers since opening day. Probably going to be one of those guys that's with them from start to finish, kind of like Nerio Rodriguez last season. Here's the 3-1, and Molina pops it up. This will sail out of play over the Avex Club roof and get the count to full. Molina at 210, playing in game number 111. He has 92 total hits, Colin, so a really good series could get him to that century mark. Here comes the three-ball, two-strike pitch with the runners on the move, and a changeup misses down and away. Leo Stanley Molina works a long walk, and that loads the bases for the bottom of the Woodpeckers' order in Ryan Wroblewski.
Great patience there from Leo, working that 3-0 count. Took a called strike. Got his pitch 3-1, couldn't put it in play, and kind of got back to protect mode. Swing at anything close. Pitch sailed on the outside from Webb, and Woodpeckers turning nothing into something here in the second inning.
So Wroblewski, the batter, he swings and fouls the first one off left side. Looks like a slider coming in. And it's a no ball and one strike count. Wroblewski at 109, playing in his 15th game. He has five base hits for Fayetteville, three of them, though, for extra bases. Three doubles, still without a home run or a triple. The pitch, a slider that looked a little high, but Wroblewski went after it and got a piece, fouls it off, and it's quickly a no ball and two strike count. 1-0 Lynchburg, and Fayetteville trying to quickly answer the solo home run from Carson Tucker in the top of the second inning that got over that right field wall. Webb struck out the first four batters he faced, but now up against it. His 0-2 delivery. Wroblewski swings and hits a fly ball. This is tailing towards the pole, and it'll get foul. Into the tunnel out there, and that ball nearly had grand slam distance behind it. 325 feet, the measurement down that right field line. And that ball started fair, remained fair until it got about halfway down that right field line and then sliced out of play. So solid contact from Wroblewski, but he'll have to try again. This will be pitch number 35 for Webb. Wroblewski choking up on that bat a bit and the delivery. He swings and taps it foul beyond Vincent Blue, the third base coach. Looks like Garrett McGowan has the batting helmet on, and he's working first tonight. Talking to his first base runner, Leo Stanley Molina. Zach Cole stands at second. Ryan Clifford is over at third. Wroblewski ready. The pitch, and he checks his swing, but he went too far. That baseball ricochets back towards the plate. Runner coming to the plate, and he scores, and then the throw goes up the line to get Wroblewski, who wasn't running. So Wroblewski was not running, and no run due to the strikeout and throwout, even though the run crossed before the throw-up. But don't know if Wroblewski was slow getting out of the box. What happened there? But it cost Fayetteville a run. We end up going to the third inning with Fayetteville down 1-0.
Look to the video board and smile wide. It's time for the Catlett Family Dentistry Smile Cam.
Well, you.
mound for the Woodpeckers, Nick Swanson. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Hillcats, the left fielder, number 17, Marlon Bidet.
Marlon Bidet leads it off for the Hillcats in the top of the third inning. Nick Swanson has struck out three, giving up the one run on the home run. And the very first pitch of the third lifted into shallow right. Tommy Sacco is back on it, and he makes the catch. Puts it away for out number one. That gets it back to the top of the Lynchburg order. So now to take you through the play-by-play. He was talking all weekend long, so I'm sure he doesn't mind that I just stole an out from him. It's Colin Casey, who was with you out in Kinston all week long. Thanks for holding it down over the weekend, Colin.
Now we missed you out in Kinston, Chappie. Jake Fox, the second baseman, with one away in the inning, takes a fastball, a breaking ball rather, upstairs for ball one from Nick Swanson, trying to rebound after giving up the solo home run in the second inning to Carson Tucker. And that is a hard hit ball into right field, a base hit. And Jake Fox reaches for the first time. He's going to try to stretch it into two. The throw comes in, safe. Tag is late from Molina. And Zach Cole's throw looked like it was in time, but tag was not there. Nobu Yasuda, the field umpire, says that Fox got that foot in, so he has a one-out hustle double. I think he caught everybody by surprise trying to leg that one out.
Yeah, you know, as an outfielder, when a ball is cut off, boy, 25 feet in front of the warning track, you're thinking automatic singles. Zach Cole took a pretty good angle to it and got to that ball quick, but Jake Fox really showed off the burners there and the commitment. He knew he wanted two. Halfway up the first baseline.
Down the right field line again, and this will score a run. Frias rounding first, heading into second. Meanwhile, Fox jogs home. The fourth extra base hit for the Lynchburg Hillcats. An RBI double for Diane Frias, and Lynchburg has doubled their lead. It's 2-0.
If you see any scouts around the ballpark, they're going to take the old scouting report, just crumple it up, throw it in the trash, because these Lynchburg Hillcats hit a lot of singles. That's slugging percentage is one of the lower ones in the league. But, yeah, Colin, we're seeing a complete opposite version of the Hillcats of 2022. Four hits, all for extra bases, 2-0, just like that.
And all of them to right field as well.
Yeah.
Been a workout out there for Zach Cole. Another in scoring position, one out, and a called strike one on Jorge Burgos. Burgos a ground out to second in his first AB. Swanson a look at second base. He deals. And it's hit again to the right side, but this one will stay in the infield. Fielded by Clifford, he touches first base. That's out number two. In the meantime, Frias moves up 90 feet to third base. It's the first matchup between the Fanco Woodpeckers and the Lynchburg Hillcats since July of 2019. You have to go all the way back. Over 3 years since the last time these two teams have played. And that was when they were both in high A.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has changed in that time span. A swing and a miss. And junior Sankentin is down 0-1. Grounded out to Swanson in his first AB to end the top of the first inning. Fastball or breaking ball outside 1-1.
Yeah, a little weird considering these two teams have both been Carolina League staples going back to that 2019 season. You had some of the integration of the South Atlantic League ball clubs coming into 2021, like the Shorebirds and the Fireflies and the River Dogs. So a little odd that these two sides haven't seen each other in 2 years.
And on top of that, didn't see each other all year until the very final series.
Yeah.
1-2 from Swanson. Hit a ton down the right field line. This ball is hooking, and it will land in foul territory. Another hard hit ball down the right field line. Sankentin with 8 home runs on the season. 231 batting average and 40 driven in. Looking to add an insurance run with Diane Frias over at third. Breaking ball comes in and glances off the right shoulder of Sankentin, and he will head down to first base. It's a hit by pitch. First base runner to reach, not by an extra base hit in this ball game for Lynchburg. That'll put runners at the corners with two away from designated hitter Will Bartlett. Bartlett, taken in the ninth round of the 2019 draft out of IMG Academy down in Florida. Check swing, peel down to Nobu Yasuda, and he says that Bartlett held up 1-0. One oh is hit up the middle, and that will get through for a hit. In to score is Frias up to second. Move San Quentin, and Lynchburg Hillcats have come off the bus and swung the bat well here at Segra Stadium, already on top 3-0 in the third.
Yeah, Colin, you never know coming off those long bus rides from Virginia, one of the longer trips the Hillcats have to make in the league. Outside of some of those teams south of Fayetteville, how a team's going to play on a Tuesday. I remember the first game in Delmarva, Fayetteville played really well. That was a six-hour bus ride from them going on the road, and they put up close to 10 runs, I think, in that opener. So sometimes you never know what version of a team you're going to get that's been itching to get off a bus for 5-6 hours.
Carson Tucker, who got the offensive party started with one out in the second inning. Opposite field home run, drives another one to right field. A long run for Cole. He leaps, he can't get there, and this will roll all the way to the wall. One run will score. Here comes the second run, and Bartlett is in there, sliding into third and tagged out to end the inning. And the run did not score, so only one run comes across. It ends up being an RBI double for Carson Tucker, but Bartlett could not get to the plate in time for the second run. And the inning ends after three are scored by the Lynchburg Hillcats. A great relay by Fayetteville to limit the damage. They now trail 4-0 as we go to the bottom of the fourth inning, bottom of the third inning, excuse me, from Segra Stadium.
How are we doing tonight? Welcome to the last T-shirt Tuesday. I know that is very sad, but you know what makes me happy? The license plate game. So we've got our boy Steven here, also his birthday. Happy birthday, Steven. He's gonna take a look up at the video board and guess that license plate. So here we go, let's see the first one. All right, take a good look. What do we think?
I'm gonna say A, Mississippi.
Is it Mississippi? Oh, okay, it's Alabama. We got two more tries though. Here we go, let's see the next one. Okay. Do you need multiple choice or?
Let's see, I'm gonna say B, Hawaii.
Is it Hawaii? Yeah, okay, here we go, last one. The first state.
We're gonna go with C, Delaware.
Is it C, Delaware? Yeah, awesome. Give the birthday boy a round of applause. Thanks, Steven.
Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Ryan Webb. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the second baseman, number 14, Tommy Sacco.
The Woodpeckers look to dig themselves out of a 4-0 deficit against the first half North Division champion Lynchburg Hillcats in their final series opener of 2022. Breaking ball from Ryan Webb. Misses down and away. Webb pitched himself out of a bit of a tough second inning, in which the Woodpeckers load the bases with two down before he struck out Ryan Robleski to end the inning. He has six strikeouts, so he's responsible for all six of the Lynchburg outs tonight. Tommy Sacco takes ball two, a little bit outside, went down looking in his first AB of the contest. Wind and deal. Hit on the ground up the middle. An opportunity for Jake Fox just to the left of the bag. Makes the play. Throws to first. And Sacco is retired. One up, one down. Jacob Melton, the batter. Wildcats certainly not having the same half of the season they had in the first half here in the second half. 26-34 over 60 games in the second half coming in, but they came through when it mattered most in the North Division in the first half, took advantage of a tight race, and ended up sneaking away with that title. Melton takes ball one inside. Not nearly as tight in the second half as Fredericksburg on the doorstep of clinching that second half title and setting themselves up for a date with Lynchburg. Not too bad of a travel schedule for those two teams. Don't have to leave the state. Melton awaits the 1-1, and he's able to get a piece of it and foul it off.
Always nice to finish the season at home, though. We get to wrap it up and kind of, you know, quick trip to the airport, get to go back to your family afterwards when the season ends. Front office staff can kind of hang out and celebrate together at the end of the year.
1-2 is head on the ground to the left side, fielded by the third baseman Tucker. The throw, a close play at first, but a good stretch from Sankentin. And Melton is retired on a ground out, so Webb changing it up in the third inning. A couple of bounce outs against the top of the Fayetteville order. Space is empty for Tyler Whitaker with two down. Whitaker, after a red-hot August, bit of a struggle in down east, going just 1-for-22 in the series. Popped up first base side, and that ball will land in the Avex Club. Luckily hit an empty seat. Just the one hit for Whitaker in that series in 22 at-bats. And it was a home run. So at least he made it count. 0-1, fastball up and away. Whitaker, third rounder, out of Bishop Gorman High School in last year's draft. The 1-1. Outside corner called strike two. He's certainly developed, certainly come a long way during this first full season in minor league baseball. After a bit of a learning curve for him the first couple of months. Now you look at this Fayetteville lineup, he's still right there in the middle of it, and one of the guys you trust to come through with a big at-bat. Most importantly, he's putting the ball in play a lot more than he did in the first half of the season. Webb looking for the 1-2-3 third inning pitch, and Whitaker stays alive with a foul ball. Have to remember, too, that Whitaker was the first player taken in the draft by Houston last year. No first or second round pick. Have to imagine there's a bit of added pressure as being that first guy taken by an organization in the draft. Just ask Drew Gilbert this year. Fastball high. Count is 2-2. Of course, some of that pressure alleviated given how strong the Houston Astros currently are at the major league level, so a lot of fans know that there's no reason to rush any of these guys drafted. As Whitaker waves and misses, and the inning is over. The seventh strikeout already for Ryan Webb, who has shut down the Woodpeckers through the first third of the ball game. On to the fourth inning, where Lynchburg leads it 4-0 from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers broadcast network, FanvilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
One, two.
mound for the Woodpeckers, Nick Swanson. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Hillcats, the catcher, number 13, Richard Paz.
We're on to the fourth inning already from Segra Stadium, where the Fayetteville Woodpeckers trail the Lynchburg Hillcats by a score of 4-0. Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman on this Tuesday night from downtown Fayetteville. Bottom third of the order for the Hillcats against right-hander Nick Swanson, who tries to drop in a big breaking ball but leaves it a little bit high. Count is 1-1 on Richard Paz. Paz, one of three strikeout victims so far for Nick Swanson, and this will not be a second strikeout. He hammers it into the gap, and this will be another extra base hit for the Hillcats. Paz cruises into second base. He has a leadoff double. So a team that is not known for the extra base hit, they already have quite a few. Six of them to start this ball game out of seven hits have gone for at least two bases. Not a bad time to choose to start delivering some of those two baggers, but the playoffs right around the corner. Line drive, that's into left field for a single. Up to third moves Paz, and Jordan Brown takes a wide turn off of first, a throw back, and the ball pops out of Ryan Clifford's glove. Looked like the tag was in time, but Clifford couldn't squeeze it. And Jordan Brown, very fortunate to still be standing on first base. Runners at the corners, still nobody out for the Hillcats. Eight hits in less than four innings for the visitors. Marlon Madej. It's a breaking ball called a strike from Swanson. This is one of the hottest starts we've seen from a road team all season long at Segra Stadium. Fouled off. And it is 0-2 on Madej, hitting 161 on the year. No homers and one RBI. Madej out of Boni, Dominican Republic, 21 years old. Swings and misses, and he goes down on strikes. So a bounce back for Swanson after the double and single to begin the inning. Gets the first out, now a double play ball. Going to allow him to escape with no damage done. He'll face Jake Fox, who doubled off his last time up. Came around to score the second run of the ball game. Paz at third, Brown at first, and a breaking ball outside. Good stop by Robleski. Fox, another third-round pick, just like Tyler Whitaker in the 2021 draft. Taken out of Lakeland Christian School. Fastball misses outside from Swanson. One of three guys taken out of Lakeland in the draft. A lot of them have been recent, too. Logan Browning, taken by the Boston Red Sox in 2018 in the 24th round. 3-0 count on Fox. Browning last pitched in 2019 with the Greenville drive. Popped up. This will just creep onto the outfield. Second baseman Tommy Sacco camped underneath it, makes the catch, and a big second out for Swanson. Having a nice turnaround after a couple hard hit balls to begin the inning.
Pretty critical spot right here, Colin. You want to try and keep this game within four runs going into the middle innings. And Nick Swanson, with 55 pitches, might even have an opportunity to go to the fifth if he can put up a zero here.
Diane Frias standing in the way of a scoreless inning. Frias, 2 for 2 with two doubles. Last one driving in a run before he himself scored. Off speed outside. That was pitch number 57 from Swanson. And all things considered, despite giving up 4 runs on 8 hits, not a very high pitch count. Frias spoils one down the left field line. Woodpeckers, 52-73 on the season. Lynchburg, 61-65. 2-1 misses high. Out of the crouch comes Robleski. And Swanson endangering of issue what would be his first walk of the ball game. So throwing strikes, not an issue for Nick Swanson so far. Just seems like the location has been catching too much of the plate. 3-1 is roped down the right field line, foul. Fayetteville looked to get the bats going in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Middle of the order due up, DeCenzo, Clifford, and Lofton. Runner on the move, a swing and a miss, and the inning is over. So after a double from Paz and a single from Jordan Brown, Nick Swanson retires the last 3 batters he faces in the top of the fourth inning, including a pair of punchouts. He now has 5 on the night, and the Woodpeckers will go to bat trying to chip away at the 4-0 deficit they find themselves in to Lynchburg. You're tuned in right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 10, Zach DeCenzo.
Former Ohio State Buckeye, Zach DeCenzo, digs in to face the former Georgia Bulldog, Ryan Webb. And the first pitch to DeCenzo is a breaking ball that misses downstairs. A couple of guys happy with the way their football teams probably opened up the college season this week.
Yeah.
Especially Georgia with the big win they had. DeCenzo chops one up the third baseline. It is a foul ball.
Yeah, say Ohio State fans at least had a minor scare.
Yeah.
Trailing Notre Dame at the half. Pretty competitive game until the fourth quarter.
And meanwhile, Georgia bulldozing the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah. Quack, quack.
Senzo struck out swinging in the second inning, his lone at-bat. He's been in a bit of a power outage, 4 home runs on the season, but he hasn't homered since the Mudcat series out in Zebulon. 1-1 swung on and missed, 1-2. He did have a 2 RBI game, though, over the weekend. So still driving in runs, just hasn't been able to get a hold of one since August 18th. Webb with the 1-2. Changeup swung on and missed. Another strikeout for Ryan Webb. Make it 8 through 3 1/3 innings pitched. He has been very impressive. One of the most impressive starts to a ball game we've seen from anybody this season at Segra Stadium.
Yeah. Those 8 strikeouts tie a season high for Ryan now. And it took him into the 6th inning of a start to do it last time. So this time he's racked up the 8 Ks at the best rate all year.
Ryan Clifford takes ball 1 up and in. At UGA, had a 7-9 record with a 3.60 earned run average. Playing in his home state. Clifford drives one to left field. Long run for Marlon Mahde, but he's underneath it, makes the catch for the second out. Looks like Clifford got just a bit underneath it as he's still in search of his first professional home run. 2 away for Jackson Lofton. Webb, in his senior year, was actually cut short on May 9th. He had to end his season after a start against the number one team in the country at the time, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Had an elbow injury. Went under the knife, but he's recovered. Now here he is after being drafted by Cleveland and making the most of what would be his penultimate outing of the season. Ground ball outside of third. As of now, he's scheduled to get the start in Sunday's season finale, not to mention postseason around the corner for Lynchburg. And it's lining up well for him potentially to be a guy to have in the playoffs in a potentially backs-against-the-wall game against the Fred Nats or a series-clinching game, depending on how things shake out. Called strike on Lofton. Count is 1-2.
3-game series, so those things are going to go in a blink. That game one, so important. Otherwise, you're up against it for 48 hours.
Zach Cole waiting on deck. Webb delivers, and it swung on and missed. Lofton down on strikes. That is 7 in a row set down for Ryan Webb, his 9th punch out of the ball game. He has shut down this Fayetteville offense through 4 innings. Lynchburg leads 4-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Nettie Light has our jockeys down on the field. Take it away, Nettie.
All right, Woodpeckers fans, I know you all paid great money to see the pony race, am I right? We have team 1 here on our right and team 2 on our left. First base side, I'm going to need you to cheer as hard as you can for team 1. Third base side, we need you to cheer as hard as you can for team 2, okay? First base side, let me hear ya. Third base side, let me hear ya. Yeah, that might have been better. All right, are you ready? In 3, 2, 1, race! Let's hear ya, let's hear ya! Come on, third base side! Cheer him on, cheer him on! All right, it looks like team 1 might take it! Oh, it's a photo finish! Team 2! Team 2 comes in the end! Way to go, you guys!
Fans, this Woodpeckers Pitch and Change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 53, Andre Scrub. I'm a hot air balloon like a ghost face. With the air,
like I don't care.
DJ Esco. Let's go terrestrial. Terrestrial.
Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Hillcats, the center fielder, number 34, Jorge Burgos.
Top of the fifth from Segra Stadium, Lynchburg leads 4-0 over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Right-hander Andre Scrub takes over on the mound, and Andrew Chapman takes over on the play-by-play.
All right. Thanks, Colin. Andre Scrub, the big leaguer, on the way down right now on rehab from Sugar Land, where he pitched in 2021 along with the big league Houston Astros. It's one ball, one strike now on Burgos. Final line for Nick Swanson has him at 4 complete innings, 8 hits, 4 earned runs, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. Third baseman playing shallow on the grass, and a fastball misses just outside at 91. And the count is 2 balls and 1 strike. Burgos, San Quentin, and then Will Bartlett, the 3-4-5 heart of the order, third time through. It's been the extra base hit tonight for Lynchburg that has got them up by 4. Is that one shot over our heads? And on that swing, Burgos also hit the ground. So 2 balls and 2 strikes. 6, making 8 hits for Lynchburg. 6 extra base hits. 5 doubles and a home run. A couple of singles along the way also. RBI hits coming from Frias, Will Bartlett, Carson Tucker, 2 RBI game. Home run, RBI double. Andre Scrub goes to the rosin bag. He's not a big league rehabber, so he does work under the minor league pitch clock rules. Would be different if he were on the Astros' 40-man roster, like Josh James, who wasn't using the pitch clock. Swinging a foul back. It had just been dominance, though, by the big league guys and Scrub and James in Fayetteville until Scrub proved he was human and gave up a couple of runs last week in Kinston and suffered the loss on September 2nd, the pitch runs outside, and it's 3-2. That was on Friday night when he pitched. He gave up 2 hits, 3 earned runs, a couple of walks as well, and didn't get out of his one scheduled inning. But back here at home where he pitched well in his first rehab stint with Fayetteville on August 27th, a scoreless hitless inning against Charleston. And now a swing and a fly ball out to short right field. Cole in, Sacco out, and the middle infielder, Sacco, puts it away on the back pedal. And it's one gone for Andre Scrub. Burgos goes to 0 for 3. And now it is Junior San Quentin.
Yeah, the thing with Scrub, he just got a couple of walks that got him a little bit behind after a couple of singles, a couple of hits really to start the inning that kind of got him behind the eight ball in Kinston. But one inning at a time, that's how it's been for Andre throughout his rehab appearances. And right now he's off to a much better start this time around.
San Quintin, he swung at a fastball above the zone and it is nothing and one. Slight shift on the infield to the pole side. The next pitch is popped straight back and foul. 93 that time, one of the harder fastballs from Scrub. Nothing and two. Originally an L.A. Dodger farmhand. He was drafted in the eighth round at a High Point, not far from here. Born on Fort Bragg. And the 0-2 pitch is a breaking ball that barely missed to the outside. Didn't miss by much, though. So one ball and two strikes. Got to see Scrub pitch a little bit in the California League in 2018 when he was on the come up. As a breaking ball gets San Quintin looking. Slider strikes him out. Two gone for Andre. And throughout his previous three outings with the Woodpeckers, we've seen him feature that breaker quite a bit. A lot of over-the-top action on that thing. And going back to his Dodger days, that was the pitch that was very well developed for him, even when he was a low-A, high-A ball player for the first time ever in his career. And a fastball right over the middle. I remember his midseason call-up for him from the Great Lakes Loons at the time up to the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, and his curveball was just eye-popping, really, compared to anybody else we had seen on the staff. And here's the 0-1, and the pitch misses up high. And that rotation in Rancho Cucamonga that season had some future big leaguers on it. Tony Gonsolin was on that team, Dustin May, and Dean Kramer, who's now in the Baltimore Orioles big league rotation. One ball, one strike pitch, and a swing and a high fly ball. This is playable in straight up center.
Jacob Melton strolling back to his left. He makes the catch in the alleyway, finishing off a 1-2-3 inning for Andre Scrub. So a scoreless fifth. We're halfway home tonight at Segres Stadium. The Woodpeckers still looking for their first run. They're down 4-0 to the Hillcats.
Year in and year out. Every game this season, we'll randomly select one lucky season ticket holder to be our Hutchins High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game is Kyle Collins. Congratulations, Kyle, and thank you for being a season ticket holder. Cool as a fan. Fans, Fayetteville Woodpeckers 2023 season memberships are on sale now. For more information on becoming a season ticket member, stop by the fan information table and secure your seat for 2023. Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Ryan Webb. Stand up and take a bow. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, the power hitter of the game, number 35, Zach Cole.
It's been a season-best outing so far for left-hander Ryan Webb, and he's back out for the bottom of the fifth inning. Zach Cole, first pitch coming in on him. He thought it grazed him on the way by, and home plate umpire Corey Gerber said, no, sir. Zach Cole was pretty sure it got him. Quickly tossed aside the bat. Vincent Blue, acting as the Fayetteville manager tonight with Joe Thon out, looking from that third base coach's box, but not arguing that decision. And Zach Cole has to dig back in. Instead of a hit by pitch, it'll be 1-0, left on left. Cole has singled tonight off of Ryan Webb. Here comes the pitch, and he foul tips it back into the mitt of Paz, or off the mitt, and it's 1-1. Cole Molina and then Ryan Wroblewski, 4-0 Hillcats. Ryan Webb, 4 scoreless, and he has struck out a season-high 9 already. The 1-1 delivery, and Cole fights it off straight backwards, 1-2. Got that season-high 9th strikeout of Jackson Lofton ending the 4th. And entering this inning, Webb has set down 7 straight Woodpeckers, going back to the second inning. This is the one portion of the order, though, that gave him a little bit of trouble, the 1-2. Cole takes just outside. It was held there for a moment by Paz as he tried to frame a strike for his pitcher, 2-2. But Cole reached on the single, and Leo Stanley Molina drew a walk. That was a two-out bases-loaded spot. He struck out Ryan Wroblewski to keep his day scoreless. After shaking off a couple of signs, the delivery in a 2-2. Missed just off the outside again. And Ryan Webb with that turn away from the umpire, thinking he had strike 3.
Zach Cole's a guy I would keep a real close eye on as we head into 2023. Reminds me of someone who could have a breakout, sort of like Logan Cerny had at the start of this season.
3-2, a foul tip, and Paz couldn't squeeze it. Very close to a strikeout.
A lot of the similar tools, has that potential for power, and, I mean, he can run just about as good as anybody on this team, Cerny included.
Yeah, the athleticism there, no doubt, as an outfielder, as a base stealer. And the payoff. Breaking ball, pulled on the ground out to second base. It's collected by Fox, and he zips the throw to first. There's that speed from Zach Cole, making a routine ground ball closer than maybe it should have been. And there's one away.
That No question about it, Chappie. Just a slight bubble, bobble rather, by Jake Fox. He looks up and sees, oh, I got to get this ball to first base quickly because Zach Cole's busting it down the line. Just able to get that throw in there, but that's the type of game-changing speed you want in your lineup.
Leo's standing Molina, attacks the first pitch, sends a soft fly to center. That one's fallen, and it's down in front of Burgos. Leo standing Molina with hit number 93 of his season. Don't know if he'll get to 100, Colin. He'll need a few big multi-hit games throughout the week, but sure would be an accomplishment. We haven't seen a lot of Woodpeckers touch the century mark in franchise history.
Yeah, last one, I think it was Waldo Duarte.
Yeah.
134 hits back in 2018.
That's the franchise record as it still stands. Second and final year of Buies Creek is Ryan Wroblewski. A little early on a changeup out in front of it swinging, and it's an 0-1 count.
That'll be a tough one to break. I mean, you have to play every single game down here essentially and play at a high level.
Yeah. And usually if you're playing at that high level, you don't stick around for a full regular season. Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a fly ball to the right side. It's always the tricky thing about franchise records, at least at this level of the minor leagues. You said AAA franchise records, okay, you're right there, right on the doorstep of the big leagues. Maybe there's not an instant roster spot for you, but the guys that are here in Fayetteville, they want to play for a few months and have a chance to get promoted. Don't necessarily want to be racking up 140 hits. Here's the 0-2, a swing and a miss by Wroblewski, and he strikes out for a second time.
Especially nowadays, too, in baseball. Anytime a guy shows a real spark, a strong couple of weeks, teams are inclined to bring him up and see what he can provide at a higher level, what
right.
a guy can do at high A compared to single A. So even just a strong week or two is enough sometimes to get a guy to another level and beyond.
Tommy Sacco is the new hitter, switch hitter from the right side. First pitch missed up high. He's at the top of the Fayetteville order. It's 1-0. Man at first, Molina, two gone, and a 4-0 Hillcats lead. Speaking of Astros roster transactions, there was a couple across the minors today that were significant. Here's the runner going to second base, pitches inside, throw down a one-hopper, and it skips into center field. Molina realized late, and he won't get to third, but a stolen base for Leo Molina. He picks up number 22 in 27 attempts.
Yeah, quietly, one of the faster guys on this team as well. Not a guy you see take a lot of bases once he's on, but can't forget about him over at first base.
Yeah, and I like the idea of getting aggressive against this guy, Ryan Webb. Try and get your runners into scoring position while you have them when you're down four. But touching back on those roster moves around the Astros farm system today, Joey Loperfido, unfortunately, being put on the injured list. And that would likely end his season, being
yep.
the seven-day injured list placed on it today. Wasn't a retroactive move or anything like that. So Joey Dunn, not exactly sure what the injury was, but chance for him to potentially play at Instructs at West Palm Beach over the next couple of weeks if he's healthy enough. And then the other move was a promotion of a former Woodpecker, Misael Tamarez, one of the breakout arms with us last season. He's now up to AAA Sugarland. And here's a line drive ripped through the right side of the diamond. And it's into shallow right. Molina stops at third. Tommy Sacco gets in the hit column with his first base hit tonight, and he extends this fifth inning. Runners on the corners. Brings up the lineup spot of Jacob Melton, but Vincent Blue coming together with Corey Gerber, and he will replace Melton with Garrett McGowan. Did you notice anything regarding Melton, Colin, that would have been concerning?
Now, the last thing I remember was him making the catch to end the top half of the fifth inning.
Right, that was a pretty routine play. He was right underneath it. Now a meeting on the mound. They'll take advantage. Pitching coach Kevin Arminio is out there to talk things over. Garrett McGowan taking over for Melton. I'll let you know if we hear anything regarding Melton. May not be until after the game, though. So McGowan will take over the two spot, and presumably we'll see some defensive realignment as well come the top of the sixth inning, with McGowan, a first baseman, coming in for the starting center fielder. And lefty on lefty again, and the pitch is swung on and missed by McGowan. It is 0-1.
Didn't see Melton in the dugout as well, so maybe it's possible. Don't want to speculate, of course, but it's possible maybe some sort of illness or whatever, because we didn't see anything physically wrong with him in the top half of last inning.
Yeah, you think back to trying to recall if a guy might have fouled the ball off his foot or something like that, and nothing to that degree tonight for Melton as the pitch comes home, and a fastball is down and inside. Of course, the Astros already lost Drew Gilbert. Not to bring back that bad memory, but he went down with the elbow dislocation just a week into his pro career, and it would be a bummer to lose Melton for any extended time this week in the final series of 2022, that is. And a step off from Ryan Webb. So one ball and one strike on McGowan. He's struggled a bit at the plate to begin his pro career. Dominated at the plate at the Division II level before getting drafted in the 17th round. He has seven base hits, a double, and six singles. Step off and a throw over to first. Leo's Danny Molina looking things over the opposite end of the diamond. Tommy Sacco extending the inning with a single to put runners in the corners. Woodpeckers trying to crack the scoreboard for the first time in this bottom five. Runner on the move. Here's a bouncer that's pulled in by a leaping San Quintin, and he stomps on that first base bag to complete the inning. And he stole a runaway from the Woodpeckers on that great hopping play. And two are left on. Woodpeckers unable to score. And it's 4-0 going to the top of the sixth when we come back.
Hat shuffle. Take a look at the video board and good luck. Andre Scrubb. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Hillcats, the third baseman, number four, Carson Tucker.
Andre Scrubb back out to work the top of the sixth inning as he tries to go beyond a one inning of work for the first time since the start of the rehab period with Fayetteville. His first pitch missed low with Carson Tucker, and it is 1-0. 4-0 Lynchburg. Fayetteville's been held scoreless on four base hits tonight. The pitch is down and in. And so far, Tucker has been the offensive MVP of Lynchburg. A solo home run that got the scoring started in the second, and then an RBI double in the third. He's 2-for-2, couple of RBIs, and a run scored. The delivery. A fastball blazes in, and it is called a strike. 2-1. Scrub went 1-2-3 in the top of the fifth inning. Pop out, strike out, and fly out. After Nick Swanson, the starter, covered the first four innings, allowed all four runs. A swing and a muscled liner foul right side. So it's 2-2 on Tucker. It's been one of his best games so far with Lynchburg. He hit the home run and the double, of course, and might say, okay, this is a guy that's been coming up with big swings all year as Tucker has to bail out. That one almost hit him. Full count now. But he came into tonight's game batting just 126. It's been a struggle in the Carolina League for him, so no doubt this is best start to a game for him in his Hillcats career. A little bit of bullpen activity out there in left field. The pitch comes home, and a breaking ball buckles Tucker for strike three.
Tucker, the former first rounder, who's fallen out of the top 30 of the most recent MLB.com rankings, but again, still drafted out of high school, still plenty of time for him to turn things around. I think he just turned 20 years old, so sometimes it takes a little bit of time for guys to really get that full experience of professional ball, and it sometimes almost is like a light switch with some guys where it just eventually it clicks, and today so far could be one of those games for Carson Tucker where it all starts to come together.
And here's a bouncer that gets just to the right of that first base bag. Was creeping along that line, threatening to be the sixth extra base hit. An extra double of the game for Lynchburg. They have six extra base hits, five doubles and a home run. And Richard Paz with one of them, a double back in the fourth inning. Instead, it's a nothing and two count. I think Joey Loperfido is that guy we always go back to in that type of an introduction to pro ball, full season baseball, where he really struggled in 2021 and then just broke out in 2022. 0-2, and that's hit off of the foot of Andre Scrub. Ricochets towards third. DiZenzo bare hands but doesn't have a throw. Andre Scrub did a nice little job to prevent that ball from rolling into center. Kicked it over to his third baseman, but DiZenzo had too far to come in. Scrub fortunately okay, and Richard Paz, a 2-for-3 ball game. 9 hits now for the Hillcats. That puts an end to what was 7 in a row retired by Fayetteville pitching between Swanson and Scrub. Now a chance to turn two as a first pitch breaking ball is down in the dirt to Jordan Brown. And it's a 1-ball, no strike count. So Scrub now with his longest outing with the Woodpeckers in rehab. Had 2 1 inning outings, the 2/3 in down east last week, and now an inning and a third tonight. A swing and a pop fly. This will barely exit the infield. Molina back up on it at short, and he rips it down for out number two. Brings up the 9 hitter, Marlon Madej. Of course, our eyes are on Charleston and Columbia. We're in a critical series between the River Dogs and the Fireflies at Segra Park. The River Dogs have come out angry. 10-2 the score in the bottom of the fifth inning. And if that score ends up holding, and it's hard to believe Charleston blowing an 8-run lead with their pitching staff, they would need to just win tomorrow, and that would end the South Division playoff race.
Yep, magic number is 1. In this case, when two teams are playing each other, it's almost like every win counts as 2.
Yeah. And 0-1, a fastball, 90 right at the top of the zone. It swung on and missed by Madej. Slow start to his night, nothing for 2, and he has popped out to second and also struck out swinging. Molina, the shortstop, stationed up the middle of the diamond. Third baseman DiZenzo way off the line towards short. Playing that pull side of the lefty. 4-0 Lynchburg. The man on first. Scrub's pitch is a curve that's swatted left side and tailing out of play. A couple of fans down there, and it managed to find him.
Not the only blowout as far as playoff situations go. Fredericksburg, 12-4 lead early on over the Salem Red Sox.
If they win tonight and Carolina loses, North Division's wrapped up. The 0-2 pitch, a swing and a miss, high fastball, and Andre Scrub strikes out 3 tonight in Fayetteville over 2 scoreless innings. His longest outing so far in a Woodpeckers uniform, And he was lights out tonight. He strands a runner in the sixth on the single. And we go to the bottom half. It is a 4-0 Hillcats lead.
Contestants down on the dugout. Take it away, Nettie.
Oh, my goodness. It is hot in here. But we're going to cool down with Blanton's Frozen T-shirt contest. I've got my boys, Damian and Eric, up here. They are going to do whatever they can, and I mean whatever they can, to thaw these T-shirts. Whoever can get it over their head first in the 30 seconds wins. All right, let's cheer them on in 3, 2, 1, thaw! Oh, I'm going to stay out of the way. Oh, okay, Eric, I think Eric's close. Let's see who can do it. Eric, oh, it's almost over his head. Oh, and it looks like Eric is our winner. Oh, no, Damien's coming close. He's got it, he's got it. Give it up for Damien. The last comeback, we love that. Thanks to Blanton's, and thank you guys.
I'm on a roll. It's time to go solo. Rollin'. Hit my 5.0. Put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove by, kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the 9.
Ready
for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of 8-ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my 9, all I heard was shells.
Falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, the dope fiends. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Take heed, cause I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound. Enough to shake and kick.
Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Ryan Webb. Coming to the plate, leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 8, Tyler Whitaker.
It's the bottom of the sixth inning, and Ryan Webb is still scoreless. 4-0. The Hillcats lead the Woodpeckers in this series opener. The first pitch to Whitaker is a looping breaking ball that misses a little outside. And it's 1-0. Whitaker, DiZenzo, and then Ryan Clifford, 3-4-5, a third time through against Ryan Webb, who struck out a season-high 10 tonight. And here's his kick and pitch. The 1-0 to Whitaker, down and in. 2 balls and no strikes. Ryan Webb has pitched into the sixth inning one other time this year. That was when he set his previous high in strikeouts, August 18th, but he has not completed 6 innings all season long. Here's the 2-0, and Whitaker rips a line drive right up the middle into center field. He got a high pitch and jumped all over it. Whitaker ends his 0-for-2 night, had a couple of strikeouts on the card so far, but now he's on base and a little bit of speed to contend with right away. That is the first time tonight that the Woodpeckers have put the leadoff man on. And right as we're talking about Ryan Webb trying for the 6 complete innings, he gives up the base hit. And here comes his skipper, Omir Santos. Pitch count at an even 80 for Ryan Webb, which likely factors in more than anything at this moment and leads you to believe that maybe Webb wasn't even scheduled to go 6, probably, even had he got the out. So Whitaker on, as is the Hillcats bullpen for the first time tonight, and we'll tell you about the new reliever coming out from that left field pen when we come back in a moment.
I don't want you to get lost. I don't want you to go broke. I want you
sushi restaurant. All rise. Music for a sushi restaurant. Music for whatever you want. I'm not going to get lost. I'm not going to go broke. Staying cool.
Fans, this Hillcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Hillcats, number 48, Ronnie Munoz.
So a new arm into the game for the Hillcats. It's right-hander Bronny Munoz. After the Tyler Whitaker single chases the starter Ryan Webb from the game, Zach DiZenzo gets to square off against the bullpen, and he takes a first-pitch strike on a changeup for Munoz, 0-1. 3-4 record, 3.84 ERA. The 27th outing for Munoz and his 25th in relief. The pitch is a little high. Maybe inside as well on the righty DiZenzo. Couple of spot starts for Munoz this year. He's gone 60 innings, given up 60 hits over that stretch. 26 earned runs, 7 home runs, limited the walks to just 16, and has amassed 55 strikeouts. Whitaker has to dive back into that first base bag because Munoz picked off that way. Not surprised that he did. Whitaker had that look in his eye. And he was pretty far off that first base bag, shuffling the weight back and forth. Looked like he was ready to go. Middle infield double play depth. Fox pinching towards the middle. DiZenzo swings and got underneath the breaking ball. He fouls it away. One ball and two strikes. 4 runs, 9 hits, no errors for Lynchburg. They have led since a solo home run in the top of the second inning by Carson Tucker. They added 3 more in the third. Woodpeckers without a run on 5 base hits. They've put the leadoff man on for the first time. Pitch to DiZenzo, bounce towards the middle. Fox Field steps on the second base bag, goes to first, and the second baseman gets the double play complete. 4-3, and a momentum killer for the Woodpeckers. 2 gone, bases empty, and it brings up Ryan Clifford.
Some nice footwork there from Fox. Some guys will try to panic a little bit on a ball hit right at the bag. Not sure if they should charge it or wait for it to come to them and risk the ball hitting the base, but he played it perfectly. Got it. Just used that bag as a launching point to go into the throw. Excellent execution.
Clifford takes strike one, a fastball on the low outside edge, 0-1. Tough night for DiZenzo now, 0-3 with a couple of strikeouts and the double play. Clifford a single in the second, a fly out to left in the fourth. And he reaches out in front of a changeup. He missed it, 0-2. He hit that fly ball left pretty far. Off the bat, you thought maybe, but it died on the warning track. A little bit of a shift on. Frias, the shortstop, towards the middle. And the delivery. A swing and a deep fly ball out to right. Brown going back, and that is off the top of the wall. Clifford chugging down to second base as Brown gets it onto the infield. And another near home run for Ryan Clifford. That one closer than any of them. That was just about a foot shy of getting out of here. Hit right below the yellow piping on top of that right field wall. Ryan Clifford now 2-for-3. And he's given the Woodpeckers their first extra base hit of the night. Boy, that double play a moment ago, big for Lynchburg. Man in scoring position for Jackson Lofton. And the first pitch from Munoz. In on the hands, knuckled foul over the home plate netting. And it is 0-1.
That's a big benefit for Clifford of getting a little bit of limited action in single A as a high schooler coming right to the show, essentially right out of high school. A couple of weeks here in Fayetteville, and you go into 2023 a lot more confident as a professional ball player.
Lofton with a chopper out towards shortstop. 2 hops and played by Frias to the chest. His throw is low, and San Quintin has it get right through his mitt. Lofton is on. It'll be a throwing error by Frias. And Clifford makes it down to third.
Woodpeckers got a window here.
It was a little bit low, but I feel like that's one that San Quintin should have had. Didn't necessarily skip before it got to him. Just might have crossed him up a little bit. Throw sunk on him, and he just could not squeeze it.
And now it's the contact man, Zach Cole. Done a good job of putting the ball in play all season long, and he's 1-for-2 tonight with a single and a ground out to second base. And in a spot like that, that's all you really want right now is put the ball in play. Try and make Lynchburg make a play. Off of first is Lofton. Cole checks his swing. That one gets through the catcher. Here comes Clifford down the line. Pause, does not throw, and the Woodpeckers score. A wild pitch gets them on the board for the first time tonight. It's now 4-1. And even with a little bit of a hesitation down at third by Ryan Clifford, seemed like he didn't spot that ball right away. It got enough of pause to where it didn't ricochet off of the backstop. And he had plenty of time to come home, slide head first, and get in there to make it 4-1. Lofton down to second base in the process. A little bit of the pressure taken off of Cole now. He's ahead 2-0. Munoz delivers, and Cole flies one deep down the left field line. Mede sprinting towards it. He gets to the wall, and it finds the seats just barely. Really close quarters over there, and Mede ran out of room. That run is going against Munoz. The double play got Webb off the hook.
I think it's unearned anyways with the throwing error that would have, the fielding error that would have ended the inning. It ends up being an error on the first baseman.
Right. It'll be a run to Munoz's line, but unearned, not going to affect the ERA.
Right.
And now the 2-1 to Cole. He stays off a fastball that got the low outside edge. Two balls, two strikes. A wild pitch bringing home the first run of the night. Take them how you can. Down by three. Cole trying to extend for Leo Stanley. Molina on deck. And that slider was close, but missed a little bit outside. Maybe high as well. Full count, 3-2. After a double play, got two quick outs in the sixth. Looked like Fayetteville was dead in the water, but they've gotten something going with two outs. Here's the payoff, and Cole takes outside. He draws a walk, reaches base for a second time, and brings up Molina.
That's all you can ask for in the later stages of the ball game, trailing by three runs. Keep getting base runners on. Hope the guy behind you comes through with a big-time hit. Just keep on moving the line. We talked before the game, Chappie. I'd mentioned maybe we see the opposite with Lynchburg, not known for home runs, hitting for power, and Fayetteville kind of putting guys on and driving them in. We're seeing it play out right in front of us tonight.
Molina leans out of the way of a breaking ball, but that folds into the zone, and it is 0-1. The E6 throwing error from Frias is extended this inning, then the walk by Cole. Molina has reached base in both plate appearances, a walk and a single into shallow center back in the fifth. And he swings, and that got a piece of him, a foul ball. So Munoz gets ahead 0-2. Activity out in the Woodpeckers bullpen. I think that's, well, Ronnie Garcia was warming up in the last inning. That might be Carlos Calderon out there now. And the pitch down in the dirt. 1-2. Official scoring decision on the Ryan Clifford run scoring is a pass ball against the catcher Richard Paz. So no wild pitch by Munoz, but instead the pass ball on the catcher. Munoz has had to work. 19th pitch of the inning, and that one strikes out Molina. He got him chasing outside, and that ends things. But the Woodpeckers scratch across their first run of the evening. A pass ball brings home Ryan Clifford from third. Two left stranded. One error in the inning on two total base hits, and we go to the seventh inning of 4-1 Lynchburg lead when we come back.
At this time, we'd like to recognize tonight's Methodist University hometown hero. Staff Sergeant Jason Brown is a U.S. Army medic with 16 years of service.
He's been deployed 3 times and is a Purple Heart recipient. He is joined here tonight by his wife, Janine, and their daughter, Emily. Fans, let's hear it for Staff Sergeant Jason Brown. Thank you for your service.
'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt.
It's time for the Budweiser Zero Last Call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the 8th inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 41, Carlos Calderon.
Cuando estaba batido y del coro yo era la che. Me puse pa' lo mío, un, dos, tres, microphone, che. Y la vuelta se me dio, aunque muchos subestimaron. Quisieron tumbarme el sueño, pero se durmieron. Recuerdo los judas que un día lealtad me juraron. Lo hicieron por duda, en verdad yo nunca creyeron. No, no. Ahora la cuenta pa' ser melón. Un par de asistentes, ya no contesto ni el phone. Yo lo conozco, por eso hago que no sé quiénes son. No me ven ni en la calle, ya no ando en misión. Porque yo ahora...
Leading off the top of the 7th inning for the Hillcats,
la vuelta que yo tengo,
the second baseman, number 1, James Fox.
Top 7, and Carlos Calderon takes over for the Woodpeckers behind Andre Scrub. His first pitch pumped in, a fastball strike to Jake Fox. It's the top of the order in this 7th. A 4-1 score, and to take you through the next couple of half innings, let's send it back to Colin.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Fastball outside, 1-1 on Fox. Calderon with a 4-6 record on the 2022 season, a 4.38 earned run average, and this is his 25th game. This is outside, his 12th in relief. And he will likely be able to hit that 100-inning mark. 98 2/3 so far for Carlos. Fox flies one foul straight back. So it's two very impressive relief innings from Andre Scrub to bridge Swanson to Calderon. No runs, just the one hit, no walks, and 3 punch outs for Scrub. 2-2 to Fox. Misses downstairs. Last time out for Calderon was the final day of August, the 31st, in Kinston. Got the victory, and he was very impressive. 6 innings, just the 2 hits allowed, no runs, 1 hit batter, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. And what was almost certainly Chappie Calderon's best outing of the entire season.
That was a great turnaround for him. You were concerned that his season was kind of dipping off due to maybe some arm fatigue or something like that with all those innings, but he showed that he could get back to that form he was in around late April, early May.
But here he walks the first batter he faces in Jake Fox. Fox, leadoff man, heads down to first base, and Diane Frias, who has a pair of doubles tonight, look to make it 3 and try to pad the 3-run lead that Lynchburg has with 3 innings to play. Been just over a year now since Calderon joined the Woodpeckers back in August of last year. A fly ball left center field. Tyler Whitaker moving over from left to center field earlier in the ball game. He makes the catch in left center for the first out. Whitaker in center, Garrett McGowan, the left fielder, after Jacob Melton exited the ball game in the middle of the 5th inning. Unknown reasons at this time. Jorge Burgos, the opposite center fielder, takes one up high. Burgos, 0-3, a ground out in the first inning, then ground out again in the third before popping out his last time up in the fifth. And he fouls one off to the left, got jammed. 90 miles an hour from Calderon. He'll sit around there generally, 92, 93, usually where he maxes out at velocity-wise. He's just looking to pitch the final three innings, incident-free. Ground ball foul off towards Fayetteville's dugout. Nice play made out in the dugout. Not sure who that was.
I can't pinpoint it either.
One and two. Calderon from the stretch. The pitch chased after and missed by Burgos. He strikes out. First strikeout for Calderon and second out of the seventh. So junior Sankatin will dig in with Fox at first. Sankatin reached on a hit-by-pitch in the three-run third inning. Came around to score. He is also grounded out and struck out looking. First pitch swinging, ground ball to short, picked up by Molina. He'll just throw it on to Clifford at first to end the inning. And Carlos Calderon shakes off a leadoff walk, retires three in a row to end the top of the seventh. We go to the stretch at Segra Stadium, Lynchburg 4, Fayetteville 1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Stretch, stand up, and join us in singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Sing a little louder. So it's Root Peckers. Sing it loud. At the old. Atta boy, Peckers, atta boy.
Short on your dough, you can stay there, and I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for your men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. You can get yourself clean. You can have a good meal. You can do whatever you feel. Young man, are you listening to me? I said, young man.
Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Bronny Munoz. Leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 17, Ryan Robleski.
Ryan Robleski greets Bronny Munoz for his second inning of work in relief. And Robleski swings through an off-speed pitch to begin the bottom of the seventh inning. Still a 4-1 advantage for the Lynchburg Hillcats in the opener of the final regular season series for both teams here in 2022. Munoz delivers, and Robleski goes the other way with a fastball on the outside corner, and he has a leadoff single. So after a couple of strikeouts to begin the ball game for Robleski, good contact hitting, went the other way with the pitch.
Well, it was a little early on the changeup on that first swing, but thought he did a good job of keeping the shoulders square, keeping the head in the zone. Then he got something with a little bit more juice behind it, and he kept that timing and punched it the opposite way. Good piece of hitting.
Brings up Tommy Sacco, takes a called strike. This is first time tonight that Sacco has batted from the left side. All three of his previous plate appearances coming against the starter, Ryan Webb, southpaw, went 5-plus innings. No runs, 5 hits, just the 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. I think we'd have to say that's the best start from a left-handed pitcher at Segra Stadium this year. Not including Colton Gordon, of course. Yeah. This ball in the dirt. We might be a little bit biased, but you look at some of the visiting pitchers and some of the top performances we see. It's right up there with Christian Mena, the Kannapolis Cannonballers, who went six-plus innings, nearly had a no-hitter in a seven-inning contest, and he struck out double-digit batters in that game as Sacco takes ball three high. And the other one that comes to mind is J.J. Niekro, the Augusta Green Jackets, in what was a sparkling outing from him, who got promoted not too long after that gem he tossed. So a special night for Webb here at Segra Stadium as Sacco drives one to right field, but slowing up is Jordan Brown. He misplays it, and that ball gets down. Rounding second and heading to third is Robleski. The tag comes in, and Robleski just barely gets to the bag. Don't know if Brown lost it in the lights or just kind of slow played it. Either way, Sacco ends up at first base, and the first two runners in the inning have reached for Fayetteville. That brings up the tying run.
Well, look, you're down 4-0 in this game, and you're just hoping that you put balls in play and stuff goes your way, and that's been the case right now. That E6 extended the inning, the last inning that allowed the run to eventually come home and score, and now a golden opportunity on another defensive miscue. And you have the tying run coming up to the plate, so Lynchburg has really let the Woodpeckers right back in this game on just a couple of defensive mistakes.
Garrett McGowan, in just his second at-bat of the game after coming on as a defensive replacement, or as a pinch hitter, rather, in the bottom of the fifth inning for Jacob Melton. 0-1 is downstairs. Munoz got to be careful. That's how the first run came in for Fayetteville, and a ball that got away from the catcher, Paz. But an E9 following the leadoff single from Robleski as runners at the corners for Fayetteville. McGowan bounces one foul. First meeting between these two teams in over 3 years. Woodpeckers trying to come from behind. Runner on the move. And McGowan pops one up. It stays on the infield, and this will be a double play ball. Hit and run does not go the way the Woodpeckers were expecting it to. Frias makes the catch, tossed it on to the first baseman, San Quintin. And that error almost wiped away now for Brown, as he probably takes a big sigh of relief in the outfield. Quickly two down, and Ryan Robleski remains at third. Be up to Tyler Whitaker to bring home that run. Singled his last time up. Takes a strike on the outside corner. Whitaker struck out twice prior to the single. That came against Munoz. A late strike two called. Whitaker taking a moment before he steps back into the box. One run on seven hits for Fayetteville, so they've been racking up the hits, just have not been able to add on in the run column, and Whitaker strikes out for the third time tonight. And despite a miscue in right field, Ronnie Munoz pitches a clean bottom of the seventh inning. Two to play from Segra Stadium. Lynchburg still leads 4-1 on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport, and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Secor Stadium is the place to be on Wednesday night all summer long. Every Wednesday home game is Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark. Enjoy $1 Smithfield Foods hot dogs throughout the game and bring your pup to the park for only a dollar as well. The great deals don't stop there. If the Woodpeckers win on Wednesday, so do you. Every fan in attendance will receive a free ticket to a future Wednesday home game. So bring the whole family, including your furry friends, down to Segra Stadium Wednesday night for Dollar Dog Night. Learn more at MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseball.
Top of the eighth from Segra Stadium, Lynchburg on top 4-1, and the first pitch is hit well down the left field line. Running back is McGowan. He turns, and that ball is foul by a matter of inches down the left field line. Will Bartlett nearly opened the inning in grand fashion, but he heads back to the box, and Andrew Chapman heads back on the play-by-play.
All right. I was ready for you to steal a home run there, but I think that one just barely, yeah, that was one that you thought maybe got over the foul pole. A swing and a foul tip off the gear, and quickly nothing and two. So a 400-foot foul ball and a little foul tip to get the right-handed batter Will Bartlett down to the count. Colin Durone struck out one, walked one in the seventh, left a man on. And here's his wind and 0-2 delivery. It is a slider below the zone. One ball and two strikes. Woodpeckers cleared the 50-win mark last week on the road in Kinston, so milestone there for them. Where the regular season wraps up, the 1-2 delivery. Swing and a miss, and down goes Bartlett. Marketed himself as he walks away from the plate. You hate to go down as a hitter with a strikeout after you saw yourself muscle up the ball the way Bartlett did. Way over the left field wall, but foul. Carlos Calderon gets the better of him, though. He goes to 1-for-4 tonight. Calderon the pair of strikeouts, and now Carson Tucker stepping in 2-for-3. Andre Scrub finally solved Tucker in the sixth, got him striking out looking. And now he waves and misses. One hand comes flying off of the bat, and it's nothing and one. Lynchburg, they've gotten to the 60-win mark. They did that last week. 26 and 34, that is, in the second half coming into today. So they're trying for at least 30 second-half wins by week's end. Woodpeckers hoping to maybe get to the 25 mark in the win column for the second half. Down 0-2. Here it comes. And a high changeup. Didn't miss by much. Very close. Around the edge of the zone, and it's 1-2. Take another peek at the Carolina League scoreboard tonight, where the playoff race is heating up, hotter than ever in the North and the South divisions. There's a realistic chance, though, that we might be not be talking playoff race from maybe Thursday forward. If Lynchburg and I make it Charleston and Fredericksburg close things out quick, and they're both looking good tonight. Carson Tucker ready for the 1-2. And he takes a fastball in the outside corner. 95 from Carlos Calderon. Blows away Carson Tucker, and there's two gone on two strikeouts.
Carlos must have been hearing what I was saying before about him being more of a 91-92 mile-an-hour pitcher. Reached back for something extra and put it in an unhittable location for a right-handed batter. Outside corner, that is tough to adjust to, especially if you're sitting off speed.
Richard Paz, the batter, and he has to pull the bunt attempt back. They do appeal up the first baseline. Nobu Yasuda says he didn't go. Paz tried to drop a bunt down earlier in the game that went foul along the third base side. DiZenzo's playing off of that line pretty shallow towards the grass, so he's trying to go against the shift. 1-0. Swing and a miss at a fastball. 94. Plenty of heat tonight from Carlos, and it's 1-1. 15-4 Fredericksburg over Salem. They just added another run in a 3-run sixth inning. There's a fastball, low outside corner, called strike two. So Fredericksburg is leading big Charleston leading big, still 10-2 in the top of the eighth over Columbia. And here's a fly ball popped left side, and it'll find the seats. Still one ball and two strikes. If Fredericksburg ends up winning tonight, certainly looks like they will. They need a Carolina loss, and it's a championship for the Fred Nats in the second half of the North Division. Carolina Myrtle Beach tied 3-3 through eight. As a changeup drifts away to pause, and it's now two balls, two strikes, two outs, bases empty. 4-1 Lynchburg the score. A shift on to lefty still, and the 2-2. Strikes him out swinging. Carlos Calderon, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. He strikes out the Lynchburg side in order in the top of the eighth inning. He keeps the Woodpeckers within striking distance. They trail 4-1. It'll be DiCenzo, Clifford, and Lofton, the 4, 5, and 6 coming to bat when we return on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
Time to guess tonight's attendance, presented by Smile Doctors. Nettie Light has our final contestant down on the dugout. Take it away, Nettie.
All right, we're going to give third base some love today. A game you can always count on. Guess the attendance. I've got Morgan down here. Morgan, what do you think? A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with B.
She's going to go with B. Is it B? Oh, it's A. We're still going to hook her up with a good prize. Morgan, I'm going to say Woodpeckers Nation. You say let's ride. Woodpeckers Nation, let's ride!
Fans, this Hillcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. It's turned the game for the Hillcats. Number 16, Franco Aleman. Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 10, Zach DiCenzo.
4, 5, and 6 for the Woodpeckers for a fourth time tonight. They're trail Lynchburg 4-1, and now Franco Aleman is the new right-hander coming in. He pitches and misses inside. A little bit of a grunt as he comes home with that 93-mile-per-hour fastball. And it is 1-0. DiCenzo, tough night, 0-for-3 in the cleanup spot with two strikeouts, and he bounced into a double play his last time in the sixth. Infield, outfield plays him straight up. Here's the delivery, and DiCenzo pops one out of play right side. 96, most velocity that Lynchburg has brought the way of the Woodpeckers tonight. 1-1. Aleman is 3-9 this year with a 6.20 ERA, pitching in his 23rd game. The 1-1, and that nearly hit DiCenzo on the way by. Slider up near his left elbow, and it's 2-1. He has one save in two opportunities, a chance tonight, third save chance for him. 53 in two-thirds innings this season. He's given up 37 runs, earned, that is, the delivery. And DiCenzo nearly slipped as he swung there, and he fouls one into the net. It's two balls, two strikes, 18 walks to 70 strikeouts. So Aleman has been a strike thrower, but sometimes he's left stuff a little bit too much in the zone, and he's been touched up for 65 hits in just over those 53 innings.
Yeah, I got a chance to see Aleman pitch, actually, in the Cape League back in 2019 for the Falmouth Commodores, and he had a great Cape season, 2-0 with a 1.16 earned run average.
And he strikes out DiCenzo swinging. So a night to forget for Zach. 0-for-4 now, three strikeouts. And There's one away for Ryan Clifford.
Alamon actually started his collegiate career at Florida International before transferring to the University of Florida. Ironically enough, he was teammates at FIU with a top 10 prospect currently in Cleveland system in Logan Allen, who also pitched on the Cape in 2019 for the Harwich Mariners.
Now Clifford. Pitch misses outside. Of course, the first thing that stands out to you about Alamon is his size. He's 6'6", 235 pounds, 22 years old, originally born in Cuba, and then came to the States, got to play his college ball, as Colin mentioned, as Ryan Clifford swings at a low fastball, 96, and it's 1-1. Clifford tonight, good game, 2-for-3, a double in the sixth that barely missed being his first ever pro home run. It hit right off the top of that wall. 2-2, a 1-1 delivery, and it's outside. Two balls and one strike. Clifford did have an extra base hit with the Woodpeckers prior to that double. It was all singles for him. And now he's got that double. Still looking for a triple and a home run, though. See if he can get one in the final six games of the regular season. Get plenty of playing time this week. And a swing and a foul back, especially if Jacob Melton misses some time. Ryan Clifford will be that valuable lefty to have in the order. And get on base. He's been walking at a good rate. So two balls and two strikes. Base is clear. One gone in the bottom of the eighth inning. On deck is Jackson Lofton. The break even. And Lofton will make it to Clifford. Foul tipped it off of Paz. And it's now 2-2 still. Carolina Myrtle Beach tied 3-3 going to the bottom of the ninth. Carolina went down in order in the top half. Here's the shoulder-high set from Alamon. A little bit of a hunch at the waist and the pitch. And he strikes out Clifford swinging. Beat him with 96 right at the top of the zone. Back-to-back strikeouts, and the Woodpeckers lineup has now struck out 14 times in this one. Tough sledding. And here's Jackson Lofton.
Jaffe, not to go all conspiracy theory on you, and again, we don't know up in the booth exactly what's going on with Jacob Melton, but
start the,
Joey Loperfido was put on the IL earlier today. He's an outfielder. You wonder if maybe there might have been some sort of mid-game promotion.
Here's the pitch home, and Lofton swings, lines to center. That ball falling quick, and it's down. Jackson Lofton is on base with a two-out single. Is this the part of the night where I cue the suspenseful conspiracy theory music?
Yeah, I don't, again, we don't know at all. We just noticed that he was coming out of the ball game with the lineup card with Vincent Blue going on. And you know, there is only five games left in the season, so after tonight, of course. But, hey, you never know. I mean, he's been playing well enough to warrant that type of promotion, but right now hopefully he's okay physically. That's the most important thing.
Zach Cole checks the swing, and he went a little too far. Could be a possibility, though. No doubt we'll find out a little bit more once we wrap up our nine innings tonight here at Segra Stadium. Woodpeckers trying to cut into this 4-1 deficit. Lofton dancing off of first. Cole swings and shoots it right into the screen. That fastball flashing 97 from Alamon. Cole with a single, a ground out, and a walk. Been aboard twice today. One of just two Woodpeckers to walk in the entire game. Lynchburg's been throwing a lot of strikes, picking up a lot of strikeouts. 14 Ks as a staff to just the two walks. And that one grazed Lofton on the way by. Clipped him on the elbow guard. And that time we did pick up the sound in the old crowd microphone. Lofton thought he got, or make it to Cole, thought he got hit earlier in the game. Right on that elbow guard, same spot. He tossed aside the bat. And home plate umpire Corey Gerber said, nuh-uh, you didn't get hit. You got to come back and continue your at-bat. That time, though, Cole did get plunked. Just saw Alamon, though, give a little bit of a sign to the home plate umpire, though he stuck out that left elbow, and he was arguing that Cole might have leaned into it a little bit. Gerber didn't think so, and there's two on with Leo Stanley Molina at the plate, representing the tying run. And here's the first pitch. It is a center cut strike. 0-1.
This is the third time that Molina's come to the plate in the ball game with multiple runners on base. It seems like these clutch moments have been finding him tonight.
Yeah, he had the exact same spot in the sixth inning, representing the tying run. As a swing and a line drive is lifted foul and out of play down the right field line. Molina quickly down, nothing and two. He struck out swinging, though, ending that six, trying to avoid a replication of the same thing here. Here's the 0-2, and a pop fly straight backwards. Four runs, nine hits, two errors for Lynchburg. A run on eight hits and no errors for Fayetteville. By trailing by three, they've come within one hit of the Hillcats. Is a line drive is punched out into center field, down for a base hit. It'll bring home Lofton. Here he comes down the line. He scores. And a 4-0 deficit has been cut in half over the last three innings by Fayetteville. It's now 4-2. RBI single from Leo Stanley Molina. Two-hit night for him. He's reached three times. And the tying run is on base for Ryan Wroblewski.
Got to feel good for Leo. He had the walk with two runners on in the second inning, and then he struck out to end it in the sixth inning. A little bit of redemption for him to finally be able to come through with a big-time hit with a couple of runners on base and two down. Didn't try to do too much with two strikes, just a ball in play. It died out in front of the center fielder, Burgos, and we're seeing the Woodpeckers not really trying to swing for the fences at this point. Just keep getting guys on base and slowly but surely chip away at this Hillcat deficit.
Lynchburg has sent the pitching coach back out there. Kevin Arminio is making his second trip out there to check up on Alamon. Dominant start to the inning. Back-to-back strikeouts of DiCenzo and Clifford, but then a single, a hit by pitch, and another single have brought in a run. And Ryan Wroblewski in a pressure spot here. He singled back in the seventh inning. Got a hold of a high fastball and put it on the ground out into right. For Wroblewski, now his second RBI with the Woodpeckers when he drove home. As a line drive is hit out to right field, down for a base hit. Cole coming around third. Up with the ball is Brown. Throw cut off near the mound, and we have a one-run game. Ryan Wroblewski attacks the first pitch and singles in Cole, puts Molina to third. It is 4-3. Tying run 90 feet away.
Just an impressive performance, especially from the bottom half of this lineup tonight, Chap. You look 5-9, and all of them have hits. A lot of them reaching base multiple times, and this eighth inning, no difference. Couple of strikeouts from DiCenzo and Clifford, and then three hits and a hit by pitch from the bottom four. Very impressive stuff.
Tommy Sacco swings and fouls the first pitch, backing out of play. It is 0-1. It's a good guy to have up. The switch hitter, Sacco, batting from the left side against the righty Alamon. He's allowed four straight batters to reach after consecutive strikeouts started the inning. On the corners, the pitch is a strike. 96-mile-per-hour fastball in the upper inside corner. It's a good guy to have at the plate because Tommy Sacco is one for the pressure. Walk-off home run in the last game we played here at Segra Stadium a couple of Sundays ago, and now he has a chance to tie it or more. The 0-2, a swing and a pop fly, left side, drifting towards the seats, and it'll get over the net, out of play. It'll stay a two-strike count on Tommy Sacco, who has reached on a single in the fifth, and his hardest hit baseball of the night was in the seventh. That was a line drive that went right to Brown, and it was in and out of his glove, an E9. 4-3 game delivery, and Sacco got a piece of it, fights it away. He hit his walk-off on that game against Charleston from the left side. It was a line drive that got out in a blink over the right field wall in Healy's Bar. Woodpeckers have scored the last three runs of this game after trailing 4-0, one in the sixth, two here with two outs in the eighth. And another kick in 0-2. Sacco thought about it, but holds the hands, and that fastball misses up high. Aleman has had to throw a lot of pitches. 25 now. And the Lynchburg pen has activated. A lefty is throwing. 1-2 the count. The saddened pitch. Sacco nearly got grazed. Fastball buzzed him near the letters. And it's 2 balls, 2 strikes. On deck, Garrett McGowan, who had to replace Jacob Melton midway through this ball game as a pinch hitter. Another set, another pitch, and a foul tip at the plate. Hit right off the gear of pause, and right now, Tommy Sacco doing a good job of just fighting off the ugly stuff that comes his way. You have to be ready for that 96-mile-per-hour fastball. He got a slider that time. And just kind of sat back and flicked it foul to keep it at 2-2. Sacco has driven in 5 with the Woodpeckers as he pops this one over our heads in the booth. And we'll see another pitch. This is the last type of at-bat that Franco Aleman wanted to deal with, one that's now going to go at least 8 pitches. On first is Wroblewski, at third Molina. 2-2, and a swing and a miss. That is a strikeout. Tommy Sacco goes down, and Franco Aleman finally gets through that at bat. Ended up being 9 pitches, actually, to Sacco. But the Woodpeckers have put the pressure on. They've given themselves a chance come the bottom of the ninth inning. First we go top 9. 2-run score. It's 4-3. Hillcats clinging to the lead on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
For the Woodpeckers, Carlos Calderon.
Leading off the top of the ninth inning, the right fielder, Jordan Brown.
Jordan Brown is into the right side, and a first pitch changeup drifts just to the inner corner of the zone. It's a call and strike 0-1. Carlos Calderon back out, and we have a nearly new ball game, a competitive ball game. 4-3, top 9. Called strike 2 on Brown. And here's the kick and pitch, missed outside. Brown tonight 1-for-3. He singled back in the fourth inning. Popped out his last time in the sixth. 2 runs coming across in the home eighth to get this game within a run. The pitch is just outside. 2-2. Crowd didn't like that one. Congregation of Woodpeckers fans hanging out behind home plate. And now the 2-2 wind and delivery. Brown takes low, 3-2. RBI singles from Leo Stanley Molina and Ryan Wroblewski, scoring Lofton and Cole. Fayetteville now out hitting Lynchburg, 10-9 in the column. And the payoff, a swing and a chopper along third. That ball trickles foul. And we'll keep it full where it is. Marlon Madej is next, and then Jake Fox. 8-9-1 of the Hillcats order, and they have had not a lot of base runners to speak of ever since the bullpen took over between Andre Scrub and Carlos Calderon. Just two men have reached between those two guys. Richard Paz with a single in the sixth, and Jake Fox a walk in the seventh. Another payoff to Brown, and he swings and misses. He drops the bat in the process. Carlos Calderon has K'd four in a row. Going back to the eighth inning. And he now has five strikeouts since coming on in the seventh. That brings up Marlon Madej.
He's retired now, seven in a row. A lot of them, as you mentioned, via the strikeout. This is a new Carlos Calderon we're seeing, who almost relies on the strikeout pitch. That wasn't the case for most of the year. He was more of a pitch-to-contact hitter, pitcher rather, and now all of a sudden he's been missing bats left and right over the last month.
Fastball missed up and outside to Marlon Madej, the delivery, and a swing and a miss at a changeup. Good one from Calderon to the outside, and it's 1-1. Madej is hitless, 0-for-3, a pair of strikeouts. Keeps those feet very close as the pitch dives low. 2-1. You know, we talked about it in the pregame show, but the Woodpeckers pitching staff been one of the best at racking up the strikeouts in the Carolina League during September. As a low pitch is dug out and line foul into the screen. Two balls and two strikes. Coming into tonight, 48 strikeouts in the month. Tops in the league during September. Tonight, they've now struck out 13. Lynchburg, got to give their staff credit as well, has struck out plenty. They've K'd 15 Woodpeckers. 2-2, and a broken back ground ball out to first base. Ryan Clifford secures, runs it over, and stumps on first for out number two. Now eight in a row set down by Carlos since the walk in the seventh. And here's the guy he did give up the ball for to, Jake Fox. Only man standing in the way of a 1-2-3 ninth inning.
And Carlos, one of the few guys, along with Nick Swanson, who started this ball game, and Daylon Miley, a couple of the core guys from this opening day pitching staff that are still down here and still just grinding away with the Fayetteville Woodpeckers.
Fox looks at the first one and missed outside 1-0. A development from Myrtle Beach where that game has gone to the 10th inning. The Mudcats scored in the top of the 10th to take a 4-3 lead. As a slider curls around the corner and it's called a strike 1-1. Myrtle Beach with runners at first and second with one out. And again, a Pelicans win. All but secures things for the Fredericksburg Nationals in the north, as they lead 15-4 over Salem in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Yeah, the thing is a Fredericksburg win, they have an extra game to play this week, so they have a seven-game series against Salem.
Okay. The 1-2 pitch and a deep fly ball hooking well foul has home run distance behind it. But it'll be 1-2 on Fox now.
So that's where that half game comes into play.
Gotcha.
So in theory, if there was a circumstance where Carolina was able to pull within half a game, they would be kind of waiting on the result of the final game and see what takes place in that doubleheader.
And now 1-2 is struck deep, right center field. Cole on the run to his right in the alleyway, and he runs it down for the final out of the ninth inning. Zach Cole had a long way to go, sprinting the whole way and pulling that in right before the warning track. Calderon, 9 in a row retired. 3 scoreless from him tonight and 5 strikeouts along the way. One more chance for the Woodpeckers to come from behind. We go to the bottom of the ninth. They're down a run. 4-3 the score when we come back to Segra Stadium. Don't go anywhere.
So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Kid.
kitchen floors are wet and taps are still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Fans, this Hillcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Hillcats, number 37, Yuri Hervasio.
You strike that match, there ain't no turning back. I'm gonna burn.
Coming to the plate for the Woodpeckers in the bottom of the ninth inning, the left fielder, number 44, Jared McGowan.
Bottom nine of this series opener, Woodpeckers and Hillcats. Within a run of each other as the first pitch comes inside near McGowan's bill of the helmet and just missed. 1-0. It's a 4-3 ball game. McGowan, Whitaker, and DiCenzo facing new left-hander Yuri Hervasio. His pitch gets McGowan swinging and missing, a slider moving away, and it's 1-1. Hervasio is 0-1 in save chances this season. Trying for his first, 5-1 record, 6.13 ERA over 30 games. The pitch is a fastball, and it's called a strike at 93. One ball, two strikes. McGowan came on for Jacob Melton as a pinch hitter in the fifth, replaced him defensively as well, added left field. And the 1-2. And he bounces this one along the right side of the diamond. Fox circling around, throws across his body after the pickup, and makes a great play. Jake Fox, second rounder from 2021, not only a fast runner, but also showing off some quick footwork and some very quick hands on the middle infield for round number one.
He's made some big-time plays today. The one that sticks out in my mind is when he got Zach DiCenzo on that double play ball, just tagged the bag himself and made a perfect throw to first base.
So here's Tyler Whitaker, and the first pitch to him is fouled back into the screen. It is 0-1. Whitaker tonight has reached base on a single. That was in the sixth inning. Other numbers for Hervasio this year, 54 and a third total innings of work. He's given up 37 earned runs, 6 home runs, 25 walks to 80 strikeouts. He really racks up the strikeout. And a slider just got the high outside corner. Whitaker can't believe it. And that pitch looked outside the zone. Time called by Whitaker. Hervasio with that high set brings it up near his ear. He blitzes home a fastball, and Whitaker is struck out looking on another pitch that he thought was out of the zone. He's arguing about the last pitch, strike two, which he thought was way too high. I think he has more of an argument there on strike two, Colin, that slider that looked like he was away from him. Fastball over there on the outside edge, maybe not so much, but Whitaker, who usually is pretty quiet about stuff, is still barking from the dugout. Obviously in a pressure spot, not happy with the zone. And now it's Zach DiCenzo, final chance tonight for Fayetteville, and he fouls the first one between his feet. Whitaker goes to 1-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. I think that adds to the frustration.
Yeah, that second strike was well off the play. He definitely had a gripe there. Third one, I think I agree with you, though. It looked like it caught the corner. Mm-hmm.
Here comes the 0-1, and DeZenzo looks at a slider. Yeah, Tyler Whitaker hardly ever argues, never really has a gripe with umpires too much, and that's the most animated we've seen him this year, so it kind of explains that situation. And now the 0-2 with Fayetteville down to their final strike. DeZenzo swings, lifts a liner to right. Brown coming in, makes the squeeze of the shoulders. And this ball game has come to a close. The Woodpeckers go down quietly in the ninth inning. They put the pressure on tonight, scoring the final three runs of the ball game, but come up a run short on their return to Segre Stadium. The beginning of the final series of 2022 goes the way of Lynchburg. We're back in a moment on the Woodpeckers postgame show to wrap this one up and give you some finals totals. Stay tuned right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Postgame show is next.
When the nights get colder and the rhythm's got you falling behind, just dream about that moment when you look yourself right in the eye. Did you say,
postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back inside the broadcast booth, and thanks again for being a part of our Tuesday night action tonight at Segre Stadium, and we got plenty more baseball throughout the week. Going through Sunday, the end of the 2022 regular season, five more games to play, and well, let's just hope this series is as competitive as we saw tonight. Game one of this one
nearly went the way of the Woodpeckers. They score the final three runs of the game, make it close. You might remember a couple of Sundays ago, if you were here in Fayetteville, they took that deficit in the ninth and went on and won the game. It was a walk-off home run from Tommy Sacco. Tonight, though, Colin, they weren't able to get those ninth-inning heroics, but they certainly set themselves up in a spot to come up with a big game-winning ninth inning. You score a pair of runs in that eighth. It was the guys at the bottom of the order that got the Woodpeckers back into this thing and nearly helped them win it tonight.
Yeah, it was a great game for Ryan Robleski. A couple of hits, and he had that RBI single that brought it to within a run. Leo's Danny Molina right before him, also an RBI single. So, yeah, that bottom half of the order had a really strong game, which was great to see. But in my mind, player of the game for Fayetteville, it's got to be Carlos Calderon.
Yeah.
After coming on in the seventh inning, walked the first batter he faced, then set down nine in a row after that to end his outing. I mean, he's taken his game to another level over the last three, four outings, and it's been great to see his development over the year as a guy who started out here in Fayetteville the start of the year, and he's only gotten better and better as the season has gone on. So his development has certainly been fun to watch throughout this year, and he gave the Woodpeckers a chance, and the offense responded by getting a couple of runs. Just couldn't quite get that one extra hit that would have been able to tie the game up. Ended up stranding 10 runners on base, which is frustrating, but a lot of promising signs to start this ball game for the Wood, or start the series rather, for the Woodpeckers, and still plenty of opportunities left. Five games left in the year. Good chance that they'll be able to get back in the win column and maybe take a series to wrap up their 2022 campaign.
Yeah, no doubt. Interesting tonight, that game just barely going the way of Lynchburg. They go to 62-65 overall in the regular season, 27-34 now in the second half, while the Woodpeckers fall to 21-40 in the second half, and 52-74, the new overall record. Tomorrow, game two of this series, it's right-hander Brian Salgado on the mound for your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. He carries a 6-7 record and a 4.81 ERA into tomorrow's start, and he'll take on right-hander Reed Johnston, 4-5. With a 3.89 ERA. So come on out to the ballpark. Dollar Dog Night. You can bring your dogs to the park as well. So we'd love to have you. Just five more chances to see your Woodpeckers in 2022. A fun week ahead at Segra Stadium for sure. Thanks again so much for being a part of our Tuesday night action, everybody. Please do drive home safely, and we'll talk to you from the booth tomorrow night.
Yeah. I saw you dancing in a crowded room. You look so happy when I'm not with you. But then you saw me, caught you by surprise. I'm